But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the presidential candidates' closing arguments. Move on to the deadly lengths Republicans will go to control women's bodies. And follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, What the Fuck is MAGA's Dirty Little Election Secret? Let's begin, shall we? Well, folks, we are close to the end of the 2024 election season, and anxiety could not be higher. As of the recording of this show, we just have 3 days until America chooses their next president. And with nearly 69 million ballots having been cast, whether by mail or in-person voting, we're talking about a third of the voting population that have made their decision, and there's no going back. So, roughly a little over 215 million Americans are registered to vote, and we just need 146 million more votes by November 5th. And while I'm sure there's someone looking out for those votes, the two candidates are making their closing arguments to voters in very different ways. For example, Kamala Harris decided to show 75,000 attendees that the ellipse in Washington, D.C. is for more than rallying up the Meal Team 6 militia before storming the Capitol.
With the White House as a backdrop, Vice President Kamala Harris with an address last night in front of a crowd that her campaign estimates was 75,000 people. Her speech was billed as a closing argument for voters who are still making up their minds.
Donald Trump would deliver tax cuts to his billionaire donors. I will deliver tax cuts to working people and the middle class. I will enact the first ever federal ban on price gouging on groceries, cap the price of insulin, and limit out-of-pocket prescription costs for all Americans. I will fight to help first-time home buyers with your down payment, take on the companies that are jacking up rents, and build millions of new homes. E pluribus unum, out of many, one, isn't just a phrase on a dollar bill. It is a living truth about the heart of our nation. And the fact that someone disagrees with us does not make them the enemy within. On day one, if elected, Donald Trump would walk into that office with an enemies list. When elected, I will walk in with a to-do list.
Watch out, boys, because Mamala came prepared. Because what else is a woman who is every woman gonna do? It's not like she's gonna show up at Madison Square Garden to host a sequel to the Nazis We Love You rally that quiet, pasty, and very impotent rage douchebags actually held in 1939. And by the way, who would do something like that?
A star-studded lineup is set to take the stage alongside Trump at the world's most famous arena.
The campaign also wants to show off the, quote, historical political movement that he has built in these final few weeks, bringing together the likes of Elon Musk, Dana White of the UFC, and so many others you'll see here tonight.
I'm not just MAGA. I'm dark, gothic MAGA.
She is the devil, whoever screamed that out. She is the Antichrist.
She is some sick bastard, that Hillary Clinton, huh? What a sick son of a bitch. The whole party, a bunch of degenerates, lowlives, Jew haters, and lowlives. The illegals that get whatever they want, don't they?
It's going to be pretty hard to look at us and say, you know what? Kamala Harris, she got 85 million votes because she's just so impressive. As the first Samoan Malaysian low IQ former California prosecutor ever to be elected president, it was just a groundswell of popular support. And anyone who thinks otherwise is just a freak or a criminal.
We will have the largest mass deportation in American history.
There's a lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Oh, man. That last one. That got everyone all riled up in a way that nothing else has been able to. After nearly a decade of listening to the stupid and in most cases dangerous musings of the Fuhrer of Pumpkin Spice, it was having a comedian at his Nazi reboot rally call Puerto Rico an island of floating garbage that was finally a bridge too far for everyone. Which is curious because this is the guy who threw paper towels at Puerto Ricans in Puerto Rico who survived Hurricane Maria and then wanted to swap the island for Greenland because, according to Trump, the island is, quote, dirty and the people are poor. But I guess with the end of the election road coming, the down ballot Republicans are, I don't know, worried about their chances of getting reelected.
Those words prompting swift rebuke from both sides of the aisle, including several Republicans. Senator Rick Scott of Florida, which is home to over 1 million Puerto Ricans, writing, "It's not funny and it's not true." Congresswoman Maria Elvira Salazar insisting this rhetoric does not reflect GOP values.
In a rare move from the Trump campaign, a statement in an effort to distance itself from the comments saying, quote, "This joke does not reflect the views of President Trump or the campaign."
I have no idea who he is. Somebody said there was a comedian that joked about Puerto Rico or something, and I have no idea who he is. Never saw him, never heard of him. Now, what they've done is taken somebody that has nothing to do with the party, has nothing to do with us, said something, and they try and make a big deal. But I don't know who it is. I don't even know who put him in. And I can't imagine it's a big deal.
Yeah, well, it is a big deal. And no amount of poorly thought out gaslighting from a decrepit orange is going to change any of that. For starters, the Trump campaign knew Tony was going to make that racist comment, which is why the right wing keeps insisting that it was a joke. Not only is Tony from Ohio, the state made famous for its feline and canine recipes, while also having elected the first couch fucker to the U.S. Senate. But Tony is a former opening act and friend of Joe Rogan, which normally means Tony is obviously under the influence of tinfoil poisoning. However, since the traffic cone of treason just did a 3-hour geriatric ramble on Rogan's show days before the second Nazi rally held at Madison Square Garden, it's pretty clear how Tony got his gig. Not to mention that Tony read his joke from a teleprompter that was standing in front of him, which was provided by the Trump campaign, which is probably why President Biden said this.
Donald Trump has no character. He doesn't give a damn about the Latino community. He's a failed businessman. He only cares about the billionaire friends he has and accumulating wealth for those at the top. And he says immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country. Give me a break. He wants to do away with the birthright citizenship. And just the other day, a speaker at his rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know the Puerto Rican that I know, or Puerto Rico where I'm in my home state of Delaware. They're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable, and it's un-American. It's totally contrary to everything we've done, everything we've been.
So say what you want about this remark, and a lot of people have, but Joe ain't wrong. However, I've never met a maggot that didn't waste an opportunity. This remark caused Republicans to gasp so hard. It was probably heard on the International Space Station. And apparently, Biden's words buried themselves so deep in the decaying mind of Trumple Thinskin that he actually did this in front of cameras.
Climbing aboard a garbage truck in Green Bay that had his campaign's logo on the side.
Donald Trump
actually climbing, I should say, stumbling into a garbage truck.
How do you like my garbage truck? This truck is in honor of Kamala and Joe Biden.
Former President Trump embraced his latest political set piece as he amped up his attacks on Democrats.
250 million people are not garbage. I can tell you who the real garbage is, but we won't say that.
I find it absolutely hilarious that it does not take much to get Schittler riled up. Between cosplaying as a fry guy at McDonald's, the most E. coli-ridden burger joint in America, just because Kamala Harris worked there while she was in college, to dressing up as a garbage man right before Halloween to stick it to Biden, who isn't even running or on the ballot. How can any voter honestly say America would be better off with Trash Can Don running the country? Especially women. Because the latest polling data from in-person voting stations and mail-in ballots are beginning to paint a very clear picture. We're seeing that 53% of those who have already voted are women. And men only represent 44% of early voters. And just for shits and giggles, that is the same gender gap margin we saw in 2020 that resulted in Joe Biden winning the election. So is it any wonder that manly maggots like Charlie Kirk and Jesse Waters have begun publicly mantraming about how women are voting in this year's election?
She needs people to basically lie to their husbands, which they are promoting, by the way. It is the embodiment of the downfall of the American family. This wife is wearing the, you'll show it, wearing the American hat. She's coming in with her sweet husband, who probably works his tail off to make sure that she can go, you know, and have a nice life and provide for the family. And then she lies to him saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote for Trump. And then she votes for Kamala Harris as her little secret in the voting booth.
And if I found out Emma was going into the voting booth and pulling the lever for Harris, that's the same thing as having an affair. That violates the sanctity of our marriage.
Preach on, yes.
What else is she keeping from me?
Exactly.
What else has she been lying about?
Why would she lie to you?
Have
you threatened her? Why would she lie to you?
Oh, they want me to tease.
Why would she do that and then vote Harris? Why would she say she was voting
Trump
and then voting Harris? And I caught her, and then she said, I lied to you for the last 4 years.
So you admit you intimidate.
It's over, Emma.
And those may be the best 4 words Emma hears in 2024. What impotent rage Jesse and small dick energy Charlie are complaining about is the notion that the control they think they have over their wives is an illusion. These two specimens of male fragility can't fathom the idea that women are actually independent people who have thoughts and feelings of their own. I know, big shocker. When you've convinced yourself women are just walking, talking uteruses waiting to give birth, because what else is there to do besides cooking dinner and cleaning the house? Women know exactly what's at stake in this election, our bodily autonomy and our need to protect it at all costs, especially from pervert Hoover, who knows he's fucked up with women voters since his gestures on the supreme disaster overturned Roe. So he said this in the most creepy way possible.
And my people told me about 4 weeks ago, I was saying, no, I want to protect the people. I want to protect the women of our country. I want to protect the women, sir. Please don't say that. Why? They said, we think it's very inappropriate for you to say, so why? I'm president. I want to protect the women of our country. They said, sir, I just think it's inappropriate for you to say, pay these guys a lot of money. Can you believe it? I said, well, I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not. I'm going to protect them.
That's not how that works. And besides, women need protection from you. You are the one who made women's bodies a states' rights issue, and now 41 states have severely restricted abortion access, with 14 of those states outright banning it. And since the overturn of Roe, women are bleeding out in parking lots, being turned away multiple times at emergency rooms, and dying because of it. Several weeks ago, we heard about two black women in Georgia who died because Georgia's Trump abortion ban. This week, it's Texas.
Nevaeh Crane, an 18-year-old who was 6 months pregnant, woke up the morning of her baby shower with a headache. She went to the hospital where she threw up in the waiting room. She tested positive for strep, was given antibiotics, and sent home without her pregnancy being evaluated. Overnight, her stomach pain persisted. She went to a different emergency room with a 102.8 degree temperature and an abnormally high pulse, which could be signs of sepsis. Doctors said the fetus had a heartbeat. She was given some IV fluids, Tylenol, and sent home for a second time. The next morning, Crane noticed blood in her underwear. She went back to the hospital where the doctors could not find a fetal heartbeat and declared a miscarriage. But the doctor needed a second ultrasound in order to record the absence of a fetal heartbeat, which is required by Texas law before ending a pregnancy. After delaying treatment, doctors said it was now too risky to operate since she appeared to have complications from sepsis. Crane died in the ICU.
Nevaeh Crane was a white 18-year-old girl, barely a woman, who really wanted her baby. But now neither of them are alive because of Texas Trump-style abortion ban restrictions on exceptions. Oh, those things that make it okay to have abortion bans because you have exceptions. Because make no mistake, the restrictions on these exceptions are designed to make obtaining those exceptions impossible. And like the women in Georgia, Nevaeh's death was completely preventable because the law that made her death possible never should have been in place in the first place. Texas restrictions for exceptions requires a second opinion based on additional ultrasounds that could not be administered in time to save Nevaeh because the doctors attending to her wasted so much time trying to figure out if they were violating the law in the first place. Nevaeh's life and health were not protected. And for that matter, neither was her child, who died, by the way. This woman and many others would be alive if it weren't for the Trump-given states' rights to ban abortions. And while we're on the subject of men women need protection from, the attorney general in Kansas, Missouri, and Idaho are a good place to start.
Three Republican attorneys general from Kansas, Idaho, and Missouri are trying to revive a case challenging the FDA's approval of the abortion pill mifepristone. This time, though, they're refiling as the plaintiffs themselves, asserting that they have standing based on the harms they claim their states have actually suffered as a result of the approval of mifepristone. They're piggybacking on a case that was previously dismissed, hoping to bring it back before the same specific federal judge in Texas who suspended mifepristone's approval in the original case, a decision that was later reversed by the Supreme Court. And one of the harms they're citing is that because of the abortion pill mifepristone being widely available, not enough teenage girls are giving birth. They argue that lowered teen pregnancy rates deprive their states of future citizens and could even cost them a House seat and federal funding. According to reproductive rights writer S.P. Rogers, quote, Idaho, Kansas, and Missouri are claiming to have a legitimate sovereign state interest in forced birth in teenage girls and women as breeders.
What in the white man entitlement is going on in Kansas, Missouri, and Idaho? So, Andrew, Chris, and Raul are showing their D-average by filing this lawsuit, claiming that their states have a right to babies. And if the women and teenage girls in their states have access to mifepristone, then there goes all the federal funding that they were going to misappropriate, not to mention missing out on all that poverty labor that they weren't even going to pay a living wage for anyway. And the poorly educated voters that they will need to keep them in office. So you see why women turning out to vote in higher numbers than men is so alarming to Jesse Waters and Mahbub Mussolini, because women know who they need protection from, and they're more than capable of protecting themselves by voting. Meanwhile, in Oregon and Washington State,
and an investigation is underway following the discovery of an incendiary device inside a ballot box in Portland. Meanwhile, in Vancouver, Washington, ABC affiliate captured the moment. Heavy smoke was seen coming from inside a drop-off ballot box.
Two different incidents, the one at 3:30 in the morning, Portland, and then 6:30 in the morning in the Vancouver area, about a 15-20 minute drive apart from one another.
Officials in Clark County say about 475 damaged ballots were taken from a box that was burned early Monday. The same day, more ballots burned at a box in Portland, Oregon.
Law enforcement sources telling ABC News the incendiary devices used carried markings that said, quote, "Free Gaza and free Palestine."
Authorities are now working to determine if the suspect is an activist for the pro-Palestinian cause or if the arsonist left the words to manipulate existing divisions in the U.S.
Because when you're in an election year and one candidate is trying to convince everyone the vote is rigged, it helps to have less ballots to claim were fraudulent. In Vancouver, an estimated 475 ballots were burned to a crisp, while in Portland, officials just know that they've lost hundreds of votes thanks to the burning ballot bandit. Police say the domestic terrorist is also a pretty good welder based on how the IEDs were made, but they still have no clue who the fuck this person is. Needless to say, if you are from either area, check with your state to make sure that your vote wasn't barbecued in the most trailer park way of preventing voter fraud that I've ever heard of. And while that's fucking disturbing that we live in a country where homegrown terrorists just set fire to whatever they don't like, the most terrifying moment of this past week flew totally under the radar. Which is kind of impressive considering it happened at Mein Incompetenz Nazi Revival at Madison Square Garden. So here's what Velveeta Voldemort said that's been keeping me up at night.
And I think with our little secret, we're going to do really well with the House, right? Our little secret is having a big impact. He and I have a secret. We'll tell you what it is when the race is over.
Oh, no. Donnie has a secret. And it involves the smallest Johnson to ever be Speaker of the House, and none of this can be good. Especially considering everything Johnson has done in the past to help Scooby Coo's attempt to steal a presidential election.
Johnson is a staunch Trump ally who recruited Republicans to sign on to efforts to overturn the 2020 election.
And he was a leading voice in Republican efforts to overturn the 2020 election. And even played into conspiracy theories about voting machines being tampered with, which were widely discredited.
And one of the many House Republicans who voted to decertify President Joe Biden's victory in the 2020 election.
And for exposition purposes, the Tiny Johnson from Louisiana has been on a steal the election binge since 2020. He filed a lawsuit along with other maggots that tried to overturn Biden's win, and thankfully, they lost. But still, that Polly Pocket of a man is now third in line for the presidency. See, back in 2020, Mikey was using his D-average legal skills he barely learned at Louisiana University to write briefs for cases that were laughed out of every court in which they were filed. But this time, they're focused on stealing the election where it counts. The electors. And here is MSNBC's Rachel Maddow to explain.
In at least 15 instances since November 2020, local Republican officials in eight different states have refused to certify election results, demanded audits and hand recounts. And then even when all the audits and recounts show the same results, they've still refused to certify the election. 70 different election officials who have been put into position in the swing states of Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania to make sure that election results, no matter what they are, do not get certified in those states this year. According to Democratic election lawyer Mark Elias, quote, "I think we are going to see mass refusals to certify the election in November. They're counting on the fact that if they don't certify in several small counties, you can't certify statewide results. It's about setting up a system that can deliver only one possible result."
Ooh, that is scary. But that is just one way Republicans have come up with to make sure Payless Putin gets back into the White House. In Texas and Florida, two states looking like they could be swinging, officials have denied the DOJ permission to monitor voting stations, something the DOJ has done since the 1960s thanks to the Voting Rights Act. Federal law permits DOJ to set up shop in 86 jurisdictions to make sure no one's voting rights are being discriminated against on Election Day. But since Governor Disgrace from Florida and Governor Hot Wheels from Texas have an election to steal, they're telling DOJ to go monitor someone else's polling place. And to add to the number of people unable to vote on November 5th, Georgia's Cobb County has decided that the weekend before the election would be the perfect time to get out 3,000 previously unmailed absentee ballots. Not to mention all the mental gymnastics Trumplicans have to go through to believe that any outcome of the election other than their dear leader winning cannot be legit.
MAGA World is preparing its followers for a stolen election. Election officials across the country have explained that we likely won't know the full results on election night. To conspiracy theorists, however, that is a sign of fraud. They're laying out step-by-step plans to overturn a potential Harris victory.
It's all going to depend on what they end up doing. I have a plan and strategy for every single component of it. And then January 6th is going to be pretty fun.
Right-wing activists are going as far to say there should be no election because of the destruction after Hurricane Helene. They say the Republican-controlled state legislature should decide which presidential candidates gets their electoral college votes. The idea that the only way Harris can win is if the election is stolen is being pushed across hundreds of MAGA media outlets and from the former president himself.
Because they cheat. That's the only way we're going to lose, because they cheat.
It's like, how much theft can they get away with in order to prevent Trump from winning?
Do you think he's going to win?
If we have a fair election, yes.
There's no way he can lose fairly.
Fairly, there's no way he can lose.
Pressure their state representatives not to certify election results if they suspect fraud.
Because while the cult members running red states are preparing to refuse to certify, the maggot propaganda machine is filling the heads of the poorly educated with fairy tales of a communist, Marxist, fascist who is stealing the vote for Kamala Harris. Because this time, they're going to need another army of fourth meal warriors who can waddle their way to the Capitol to finish the coup they started back in 2020. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sunday's 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. Please follow This Week Again on social media wherever you can find us. And we are available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, or Amazon. Basically anywhere you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-da for now.